So hi, and today we're speaking with Ukrop, who's from Moscow Anarchist Black Cross. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
I wanted to ask you, before we've spoken a bit on the radio show, a little bit about the situation, the defense of the Kaminki Forest. I'm sorry if I pronounced that badly. And just about some of the sort of repercussions about that. So could you give us a bit of an update about what's going on there?
I began from the beginning. It was one company from France and the government of Russia want to make the big highway from Moscow to St. Petersburg. And because of this highway, they want to cut 1,000 of hectares of the forest. This forest is a territory of one Moscow area, not the part of the Moscow city, the city near, very near Moscow, which called Khimki, and it's a forest from Khimki, Khimki's forest. And this company and government want to make the road, and but some people from some ecology organizations and common people from the Khimki who love this forest, who was play there or going to the some picnics, they began some protest companies. They began to write some papers to judgment and some other shit liberal stuff. But from card houses, they get some stupid papers that it's not our problem. It's all legal. And because of it, they make the, they invite some other ecologist people and make the ecology camp in this forest to stop cutting it. And some anarchist organization support it. And after it, our government, they it was the like the big media stuff in the on the TV. Everybody speak about Khimki Forest, that some group are protest against this highway. And in one time, the government or this company, they pay to some football hooligans from Spartak. It's a Nazi football hooligans. They get money from the Kremlin and sometimes attack different groups of opposition, like the some liberals or social democrats, and sometimes national Bolsheviks. And at this time, they paid to this football Nazi football hooligans to attack ecology camp in Khimki. And this Nazi come to this ecology camp and began to make some aggression against people in the ecology camp. And police come, but police always do nothing. And after it, all anti-fascists want to say, what the fuck are Nazis making in the in our forests? Why the Nazis come and attack our ecology camps? And why they, and we must make something. And some people want to organize some big manifestation near in Khimki, near administration of this building. And this demonstration after began, became, it was like the peaceful demonstration, but in one moment somebody throw stones or something like this. And it's began like the little chaos and some attack on the administration of this building. And after all, this group of anti-fascists goes returned to Moscow, and nobody was arrested. But after 2 days, two persons like Maxim Solopov and Alexei Gaskarov was arrested. They was arrested because they was like a public anti-fascist. They never, they always, they speak with open face on the camera, and they openly speak about their own opinions. And because of it, for police was very easy to find them, and they arrest them and say, you are organize the chaos, you make hooligan action, attack administrative building, and you're extremist. But they say, we wasn't there at this moment. We wasn't arrested. But police make the papers that they arrest Alexei Gaskarov and Maxim Solopov on this protest near building. But they was already, how 2 days after it, was arrested in reality on 2 days later, and they began make some fiction charge against Alexei Gaskarov and Maxim Solopov, and we began to make a company like you cannot take any person and say you're organizer of something. You must prove it, and they don't have some proofness, and we say you do it illegally. You broken your own laws, and because of it, we have the like the big companies to protect our friends. Some human rights organizations support us, and we began this company to help to these people, and we collect some money, making musical gigs, making some info tours, and speak about this problem and to help our people. And we have two global action days. The first global action days was near 1 month after arrest of the people of Alexei and Maxim, and after this global action day, our Alexei and Maxim was get out from prison, and they say that you will be sitting in like you are waiting for judgment, but waiting for judgment not in prison, at home. You can't leave the city and can't leave the country. I don't know how it's on English. And after we make the second global action day, and a lot of countries support us, and people in Hong Kong, people in Berlin, people from different cities, from different countries, make some solidarity actions with our friends who are anti-fascists and who are social activists, who fighting for the social guarantees, who fighting for the good ecology, but police don't looking for the real criminal elements who are, or they don't fighting with real crime. They are in reality the crime, and they protect the biggest crime like the global capital. They are looking for the social activists, and because of it, we want to say that it's not like the. We will be fighting against it. We want to fight for our rights, and we now make this big company to support Alexei and Maxim. And now we are waiting for the new judgment for them, and the judge will be said that some prosecutor won't ask for them 7 years in prison for organization big chaos near and at an administration building and extremism, but our protectors want to say that they don't do this. They wasn't on that place. They don't make the chaos. They don't organize these demonstrations. They don't throw nothing. And why you take these people?
Yeah, and to ask about something a bit different, on the radio, we've also talked a bit about the situation in Belarus before. And in 2009 and 2010, there were several direct actions in Belarus against banks, militarism, the police, in solidarity with the protest, the defenders of Kaminki against the Russian embassy. And so can you tell us a bit about what's gone on there and sort of what's happening now? Because there's still some people that are facing some quite serious charges.
Yeah, it's after we make the first global action day, some people in different countries make different solidarity actions. Some people make peaceful actions, like in Kyiv, for example. Some people make not so peaceful actions, and some Belarusian anarchists, people read in internet, some Belarusian activists, anarchists, throw Molotov cocktails to the Russia embassy in solidarity with anarchists from Russia. And after it, it began big wave of repression, and the police and KGB began to arrest all anarchists, all people who was ecologists, all people who was anti-fascists, all people who can have contacts, and they began to ask everybody. And it was the very big wave of repression in all in old Belarus against the anarchist movement, and some of the people after some days was free from the prison because police can't take from them interested for them information, but some of people began to tell about became the person who speak with police. And some of these Belarusian anarchists who was arrested, some of them are very good people, and they sitting in prison and waiting for the judgment. And some other anarchist people became their police friends, and now speak bad stuff about. It's very hard for me to explain it on the with my English language, because I don't have enough English words. But the situations in Belarus now is very bad, and because the Belarusian state is totally totalitarian, it's a real national socialism without gas cameras, because they have a total all streets are full of police. It's a totally gray country. It's a totally when you come there, it's like the some Soviet Union without social guarantees. It's a real police state, and the repression there much more strong, I think, than in Russia or in some other countries. And the last elections of Lukashenko to president was also full of brutality from police. The police beat all people who was on the street. They don't care. It's people for Lukashenko or people against Lukashenko. They just began to beat everybody, and it's just like the normally in Belarus. So the situations now they're very problematically, and the one of the biggest problems that no laws work there. So we can't rent good lawyer for this charge, because lawyers are afraid to take this charge. They say we don't want, we are afraid to take this charge. We can be repressed, or somebody can put us to the prison after it. We don't want to, and it's a real terrible shitty stuff, because we can't do nothing with this. We find some human rights workers who now work with this charge, and some lawyers, something like this. But it can go like the years of the years. I don't know how long it will go.
So it's hard to know, I guess. And do you have, recently you said there's been a festival, the Day of the Deserter Festival, which was against forced conscription. How did that go?
In Russia, we make the different anarchists. We have some anarchist festivals. It's Black Petrograd in St. Petersburg, and Day of Deserter. Day of Deserter, it's always in February, because 23rd of February in Russia, it's an official day of army, and in this day always a lot of army military propaganda in Moscow, in all Russia, always totally proud of our army, how our army is good, and people don't have the critic ideas on this. They don't begin to think what is army and for what. They just began to drink vodka and began happy. Oh, we have a very strong army. And because of it, we began to make the festival against militarism, Day of Deserter. We say that the real hero is a deserter, because he don't go to the war. He don't kill other people. Because of it, he is hero. And person who want to go and kill other people, it's not a hero. And At this day, we began to make it's like a 3 days festival with the discussions about militarism and anti-militarism, what we think about our libertarian point of view. And the last day of Desertir, it was 2 days. And the first days we speak about how it can be anarchy army or not, and it was some examples like Makhno army or army of anarcho-syndicalists from CNT from Spain in 1933, or army of Zapatists in Chiapas, and we speak make some discussions with the other leftists and liberals how the army must be, and also speak not only it was some theoretical stuff, but also we have some workshops like if you will be arrested and go to prison, how it will be in prison, and some people who are social activists who already was in prison for years or some or more, they make some seminars and speak about the own experience, how for them was in prison, what it's you can do in prison, what you can't do, because the prisons in Russia, it's like the big concentration camps where you go and you live there, and it's like the special kind of life, like you go to army but little bit crazy rules. And also we make some practice like the some trainings with knives, how to use knife, what to do if somebody attack you with knife, how to protect yourself, and also it was a lot of interesting different speeches and lectures and discussions, and also gigs with the some anarcho bands, and we made it like every year, one time in a year, and it was already fifth or sixth festival, so I hope it will be with every year bigger and bigger.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to ask you as well about in Russia, there seems to be lots of problems with sort of fascists and things, and that's one of the big differences that I can see in the UK, because in the UK there are fascists, but it's not as strong and not as violent. Whereas in Russia, it seems like people end up getting attacked over quite small things. So can you tell us just a bit about how that is, and sort of how? Because I know there's some people as well that have been I think Renat Sultanov, sorry if I say his name wrong, has been arrested recently because of fighting with fascists and things. So can you tell us a bit about that situation in general?
Some problems began with Nazis maybe in end of 90s and beginning of 2000s. It was the thousands of Nazis on the streets. It all football hooligans was Nazis. And every kiddie person when grew up, he say, oh, I want to be Nazi, I want to be rude, because they was real cool and rude persons who, and everybody was afraid of them, and they was a real the masters of the streets. But from the 2004-2005, some people from anarchist movement, some people from punk hardcore scene began to make some groups of militant anti-fascists who began to go and beat Nazis on the streets and looking for them and make some attacks. And this group always grew up and grew up, and Nazis always, they lose because they was so proud of themselves, and they think that they the most rudest, that the, when they see the violence to them, they was totally afraid of it, and they run, and they was in panic. And for maybe 3 years, our groups grew up, and after this group began to divide it. And these anti-fascist groups became totally autonomous from each other. And they make some anti-fascist actions in different parts of the cities. And after it, Nazis began to afraid to show their symbolics. Some people who was who was in Nazi movement, like the for fashion, they always say, okay, we are not anymore Nazis. We became, I don't know, drug users or drum and bassers, I don't know. They began to use drugs and go to some trance. And some people of them say, oh, I understand that anti-fascism is good and became anti-fascist. So quantity of the Nazis became very little. Like maybe now I think it's like the last biggest meeting was like 4,000 or 5,000 Nazis. And I think that the real active from them who goes to the different demonstration and manifestations, it's near 1,000. And but it's a real in but also the Nazi movement became not so big like it was, but some of these groups of Nazis became totally radical. They became they go to underground, they began to use pistols, bombs, they began to make some attack with guns, and now if in past Nazis mostly kills some immigrants from other countries, so black students from Africa who come to study medicine, now they are not looking for such kind of people. They are mostly look for the some leftist activists or some social activists, some anti-fascist activists. They killed Stanislav Markelov. It was the anti-fascist lawyer. He protect anti-fascists in a lot of charge, and he was a leftist by and near to anarchist, anti-authoritarian ideology. They killed Fyodor Filatov. He was the one of the oldest members of Moscow Trojan skinheads. It's groups of skinheads who remember their roots of 69, love skinhead reggae and hate Nazis. And they was very active in some actions, and not only in militant, also in propaganda and in musical and in cultural stuff. Also, they kill Ivan Khutarskoy. His nickname was Kostolom. He was the very active person in anarchist and anti-fascist movement. Also, he was the social teacher with kids who are like the, you know, the kids who like the hooligan kids, and also they always try to make some violent actions on the active people, and it's their methodics. It's like, you know, diaries of Turner or Turner's diaries. They use such tactics of the like the sub Nazi terror.
So they're quite dangerous then.
But it's only one thing. Also, we have the a second big problem, that it's our state and the parties which are in parliament, they are totally right wing. We have no real leftists. So we have the all our parliament is a totally fiction. It's a totally setter. And if we will look on it officially, it looks like this too, because it's a 70% of United Russia, the general party of president or of Putin. The second biggest party, it's KPRF. It's a 13% Communistic Party of Russian Federation, but they totally forgot what means communistic. They are totally right-wing Stalinists. They acted together with movement against illegal immigration and say Russia for Russians. They totally forgot about communistic manifesto of Karl Marx, and it's not a communistic, it's a right-wing Stalinistic. We have the we have two small parties which are near to right-wing too. One of them, it's a Liberal Democracy Party of Russia. It's like the most nationalistic. It's like not radical nationalist, maybe like the National Party in Great Britain. They like this. They always say, "Oh, everything for Russian people. We are for poor people. We are for Russian people." They always use such rhetorics, and they always say, "What the fuck? Let's attack everybody. Let's make a new war. Let's attack Georgia. Let's attack America." They like the real crazy clones.
Wow. Yeah. Definitely. But just before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I want to say that thank you that you listened to this interview, and I hope you understand my English language. I want to say that it's very important for people in Russia and for anarchist movement, anti-fascist movement, feel the solidarity, because we was for a long time, we was totally isolated by Soviet Union, and now our movement not so old like in Eastern Europe. And our state is a totally dark. And for us, very important to feel some solidarity from other places, that our problems, it's not only our problems. And when you, if you will be have the, some interest for the situation in Russia, please go to the, find us some information. You can find it on indie media, on Russian indie media. You can find news about Russia on English language on the website avtonom.org. I want to say to you that I want to say thank you for the interest to our situations, and if you need some help from us, you always can say, and we will try to help you everything that we can.
Oh, thank you very much. That's wonderful to hear. Thanks a lot.